Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning from the Bible. And we pray that as we think about it, it would enter our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So some of the passages we've been looking at over recent weeks have been from John's Gospel, and they've been about our relationship with God, made possible through a relationship with Jesus. And we've talked about being connected to the vine, for example, where we are the branches and God is the vine. And we bear fruit as a result of being connected in that way to God. And we've talked last week about being remaining in Jesus' love, actually being part abiding in him having his home in us. And when we look at passages like that through Western eyes, we might think that it's all about my relationship with God or my decision to follow Christ. But the original followers of Jesus wouldn't have seen it like that at all. They would have had a much more corporate view of their relationship with God. When God calls us, it seems that he's calling us not just to be a person of God, but to be a people of God. An individual faith on its own is only leading to isolation and to loneliness. It's not enough to connect with God. God connects us together with each other, with him. And we live in community, we become a community, or a tribe, if you like. We bear fruit in that tribe that we could never bear alone. And this story we just read from Mark is about five friends. Four of them could have just walked away, but one of them was paralyzed. He couldn't move anywhere on his own. And these five moved together. It's a picture, really, of what our lives can be like in community, where we receive God's amazing love and grace, and we, in turn, invest that grace in other people. As followers of Christ, we're here for each other, not just for ourselves. And in the case of the story this morning, the community was benefiting not those who were in power, but the one who was powerless. The strength of the community, maybe, can be measured in the way the weak people are not left behind at any given point. And of course, we're all weak at different points in our lives, aren't we? So normally, for that man in that culture, it would be his own family carrying him because nobody else would go near him. In that culture, disability was seen as abandonment by God. Remember the question that Jesus had to answer when presented with a man with poor eyesight. He was asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" In other words, why was he abandoned? But Jesus replied, well, actually, it's not quite like that. So that man in that culture, in that time, could easily have been an outcast. But unusually, in this case, his friends were so committed to him that they were willing to take risks. They were willing to make a very big hole through the branches and mud plaster of Jesus' host's roof and to use their strength to get their friend down in front of Jesus by lowering him down to his feet. Do we have four friends like that who wouldn't walk away from us? Or are we friends who won't walk away from somebody else? And of course, when we're fit and healthy, it's easy to travel solo, isn't it? Fast and far. Other people only slow us down, don't they? But if we always travel alone like that in business, in our family life, in our faith, then we miss so much of value along the way. Being part of a tribe or being part of a community takes us where we could possibly not go alone, with experience we couldn't have solo. Alone, we might be materially richer at certain parts of our lives, but we'll be emotionally and spiritually poorer. So in our reading, we find ourselves in the place that Jesus has made his home, and everyone wants to hear him. His teaching has been challenging and life-giving. He is piercing people's hearts. He is stimulating their minds. So the house is rammed, absolutely rammed with people. The garden is full as well. If only they'd been able to install loudspeakers. And Jesus was once again preaching life and hope to all around him. There was no way to get the bed in that house in front of Jesus. Everyone wanted to get close, completely oblivious of the fact that there was somebody nearby who needed to be near Jesus more than they did. But his friends were resourceful. They manhandled their friend up onto the roof. That in itself must have been something. And then they began digging a hole in that dusty wattle and daub. They were going to find a way to get their friend where he could not get to alone. And we can have the same experience as part of the family of Jesus, the body of Christ, the tribe of God. We can help each other to get to places where we can't get alone. Maybe it's the encouragement or our companionship that we need at a certain point in time. Maybe it's the love that we need from somebody for our well-being. Or maybe it's to the healing we need, maybe in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits. Jesus' life, his example, his servant heart, show that when we come together on a Sunday morning, we're not just consumers here to receive. We're not just an audience appreciating worship. We're also a community here to serve each other and to serve the world around us, of course, as well, together. A well-functioning Christian community clears the way for others to find healing and clears the way for others to find God. So in that house, at that time, Jesus is talking. Maybe he's going through the Beatitudes with him. Happy are those that. Maybe he's talking about salt and light. And then there's a scratching noise. Or maybe it's fingernails on daub or a sharp stick on the wattle above his head. And then a few specks of dust fall down. And then a whole lot of plaster falls into his hair. And light shines in from what was previously the ceiling. And then there's a banging about above their heads. Some faces appear, and satisfied that the hole is just about in the right place, just about big enough, they tie some belts and cloth to each corner of their friend's bed, and precariously down they lower the man, right in front of Jesus. This band of brothers weren't going to stop at anything to get their disabled mate in front of Jesus. I've seen this sort of love before. I've seen it here at St. Mary's often. I've seen it at other churches that I've been part of. I've seen it especially in small groups where people gather regularly, get to know each other, become a community together to support each other and their neighbours. Are you part of one of those groups yet, one of those smaller groups? Because it's quite difficult, isn't it, in a big community like this to get to know people. But we've got lots of small groups that you can join and that we want you to join so that you can have this sort of community. Because there are roofs that have to be broken through today, we need to make sure that everybody who needs to get in front of Jesus gets there. We need to bring others to the feet of Jesus. I think of a few times in the past 20 years when I've been worn out, down and out, close to quitting. But my friends have been there for me. In my last church, it was a leadership team that formed, and we were just a band of friends. And we loved each other and supported each other. We were there for each other when we were in trouble. They would pray for me, encourage me, and bring me back to the feet of Jesus. And I'm so glad for that team, that community that I was part of. One of our callings as a church is to help everyone to get to where they need to be, to find the healing they might not find alone. Our calling is to clear the barrier between God and each other, to remove the stuff that keeps us from believing in the God who believes in us. Because there might be those among us, for example, who have a deep wound from encounters in another church. Maybe others who need healing from a loveless relationship. Sure that they were to blame, but needing somebody to put their arm around them and bring them to the forgiving arms of Jesus. There may be others who are going through loneliness, some sort of disorder, some sort of addiction, some sort of grief, who need to be brought by us to the feet of Jesus. The healing we need doesn't usually come when we walk alone. It more often comes when we're in community together. Are our relationships here at St. Mary's strong enough to expect that we'll climb up onto the roof for each other? Strong enough to accompany somebody to court, for example? Strong enough to spend hours listening to somebody? Strong enough to bring people to the feet of Jesus? There's a surprise in this reading for me. It's a big surprise. In verse 5, Jesus says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Their faith, your sins. That's really strange, isn't it? How does that make sense to our Western culture? Their faith, his sins. The faith of that band of brothers meant the fifth one's sins were forgiven. Surely faith is supposed to be personal. Well, it is supposed to be very personal, but it's not supposed to be private. And here is why. Yes, we have to decide what the death of Jesus means to us personally. Nobody can do that for you or me. But in taking that faith decision, we are following Jesus, who was born into a culture and faith that did everything as a community and who modeled that community throughout his ministry. So, for example, I expect many people have said, I'll never believe in God, but have found themselves next to somebody who did. And they become open all of a sudden. And then time passes, and they see a change. And finally, they say, is this what believing really feels like? I've come to believe what you believe. I had a colleague in a previous job called Bob. And he was already working with a Christian, Maureen Moe, who was a friend of ours as well. And then I turned up, and the pressure ramped up a little bit on his life. And then the mate he'd been traveling in to work with from Didcot into London every day suddenly became a Christian. And he was starting to feel surrounded. And then one Sunday morning, his wife, completely out of the blue, decided to go to church and came back, having given her life to Christ. He was surrounded by Christians. Their faith eventually brought him to the feet of Jesus and to faith, and the change was incredible. I love the fact that there's a big fringe of people around St. Mary's, people who don't yet believe in God because they're on their way towards a relationship with Jesus. Maybe they just don't know it yet. And I hope that all of our groups are cultivating that fringe, inviting those on the edge to go on a meaningful journey with them. Maybe we say to people like that, let's just travel together and see what happens. After all, there's only two possible outcomes. Either in walking with you, I give up my faith, or in walking with you, you decide to become a Christian. Well, I'm fairly confident in my faith and in God. I can trust God to protect us. We can expose ourselves to people who we need to bring to faith. We can take that risk. Look back to the point where you believed. Maybe there was somebody who was believing in you, who was rooting for you, who was praying for you until you came to believe for yourself. I can think of two or three friends like that and a grandmother as well. And then finally, the celebration. Healing took place, and of course, everyone celebrated, didn't they? Well, no. Actually, if you look at the reading, not everybody did. Some people were a bit miserable that Jesus had managed to do this healing. They didn't think it was right. But his four friends were dancing in the streets, I'm sure, behind their friend who was suddenly walking. We celebrate each other's successes. We celebrate each other's healing. We celebrate each other's faith. There's a party in heaven, in fact, when anybody comes to faith, we're told. We've got stories to tell. We don't tell them enough, actually. We were thinking yesterday at the PCC Away Day, one of the things which we don't do very often is tell our stories from the front. And so I'd like to encourage you to come and let us know if you have a recent story of faith that you want to share that would be an encouragement to us. I know there's lots of stories, but I don't have permission from any of you to tell them. So I'd like that permission just to share some of those stories from the front. That would be great. Some things we have to celebrate, even if it's difficult. Lisa and Ed are leaving us, probably because Ed has got a new job. And we lose a lot by them going. But we celebrate for the new job that Ed's got and for the new opportunity they have as a family. We need to celebrate together, even when it's slightly painful. You can do life alone. My way, you can do it. Which is a song, by the way, I've banned from any funeral I take. But you will be by yourself. You will never know what it means to be fully human. You will never know the wholeness you were intended to have. You will never know the beauty and wonder of traveling together with a community, of knowing that you belong, of knowing that when you are on the mat, there will be people who love you so much that they will take you to where you cannot go alone. You can do life alone, but you will never know the feeling of picking up one corner of the mat, picking up a friend who you refuse to leave behind, that God has entrusted to you. And I'd just like to say again, I think the best way of finding this sort of community is to join one of our small groups. Some of them aren't so small anymore, but there's lots of groups that are smaller than this massive gathering. It's great that we come together to celebrate on a Sunday, but it's difficult to know each other, isn't it? But if you join a group, you can be part of this sort of community that this man on the mat was part of, that these four guys who carried their friend were part of. So if you're not part of a group, I'd really encourage you to join one. Join in. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we're not created to live life alone. Thank you, Father, that you've given us this beautiful gift of the church, the tribe of Jesus, the place where we belong because of your grace and your acceptance, a community of people held together by love and forgiveness. Lord Jesus, sometimes it's hard to walk together. Sometimes we knock each other over. Sometimes we slow each other down. But Father, life is so much better when we're doing this together in your community. Father, our prayer this morning is that each person here would see that you, Jesus, have come for them. And through your death and resurrection, you're offering them forgiveness and life. But more beautiful than that, you offer them community, that when we come together to you, we come together under you and with you. And we thank you, Father, for that. So later on,